Hey everybody, welcome to the Marvel Movie News. Thank you for sticking around and being patient with us. And we got a new time, and thank you for everything. Today we're talking about Deadpool 2. We're talking about Cloak and Dagger. We're talking about Namor, Captain Marvel, Guardians, and so much. Just sit right there. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Woo-hoo! I like that about
that. Was good.
Man.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, I was, like, dying.
It was good. Yeah.
A lot of energy.
I love the expression.
A lot of energy.
Marvel. It's awesome. I wasn't here last week. I got, so much pent up Marvel energy.
Dude, guess what today is? I saved this to tell you on air. I looked back at my lovely Facebook memories.
Yeah.
Today is my 2-year anniversary of guesting on the couch.
What?
I was on the couch 2 years ago, not even at the table. 2 years ago.
Wow. That's awesome.
Nicole? Yeah. Two years ago. I did it full circle.
That's pretty great.
Two laps around the sun later, and here I am.
It's kind of funny. This is my first time here, and I'm already at the table. So
I'm just saying. Not all of us can do awesome magic.
Just saying.
And magically land at the table. Literally.
Let's jump into it real fast. We are the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 119. So many done. We are coming to you live from Thanos' floating space chair. I thought that was appropriate since we're going to be talking Infinity War a little bit later. Yeah.
Feels right.
On our show, we tell you all the news from all these studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network or on the website popcorntalknetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at The Popcorn Talk. Also on facebook.com/Marvel News Show. Follow us, like us. We need all those likes. We need that validation.
We do. It's really about.
We do.
Really do.
I check them all the time.
Yeah.
The view counts too. Real sad about it.
And we've got Aunt Manthony in the booth, ready to retweet anything that you say about us. We've also got our new guy, Oliver, on the couch.
What's up? Happy to be here. Super excited.
He will be talking to you via the live chat and reading your Twitter questions.
That's right.
And such. I am Matt Key at the Matt Key. We've joined by Coy Jandreau at CoyJandreau.
It's trivia time.
Markia cannot make it today. She unfortunately had to work.
She's off being fancy.
She's off being all fancy.
She's super good at this job, by the way. She's super
great.
Good.
She's great.
I'm
she's
very, great. Very impressed by her.
Even when she's not here, she's still getting better. More hype
yeah,
than me and Matt.
Exactly.
The one that's good at their job.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are okay, but she's very good.
She's so very, very good.
I'm just saying.
The face that you're looking at and the voice that you're hearing is Mr. John Armstrong.
How are you?
John, tell the lovely world about yourself.
I'm a comic book geek, and I'm also a magician. That's what I do for a living. I guess I'm a famous magician, which is like being a famous goldfish collector. No one cares.
I love that parallel. I love
Thank
some
you.
Guy being like,
yeah.
But goldfish.
Yeah, but you're only famous to other goldfish collectors, so it's basically who you're only famous to.
But you did bring some DVD copies of a documentary that you're in. Do you want
That's
to tell
right.
us about that real quick?
Oh, yes, this is a documentary with me and three other magicians, and it's pretty great. It's about a life of what actually it's like to do this for a living, and it follows me through about 5 years of my life where I was a bit heavier. I was about 75 pounds heavier. And it's true, yeah. And thank you so much. And you could buy it, but you can also, if you have one of those Netflixy things, I hear people who listen to this podcast and watch this have Netflix because of the Marvel shows.
If they don't, they're missing a lot.
They're missing a lot. They're missing a lot of good stuff. Anyway, you can watch it right now on Netflix, and it's a great movie, and I hope you get a chance to watch it.
Brian Markinson, you've been on our couch before.
I have.
Let you out of the couch cage and onto the desk.
My first time at the table. Very exciting.
I met you at the Magic Castle. You're an incredible close-up magician. But in fact, I was telling Coy before the show, between the two of you, I don't think that there's a close-up trick that the two of you cannot do. I mean this with all sincerity. I've been to the Magic Castle a few times. You two are some of the best close-up magicians I've ever seen.
Well, that's nice of you to say.
Thank you very much.
Card tricks and,
they leave me consistently perplexed, which is a compliment to them, not to me. But I get very confused at Magic Castle. It is a great place.
That's good.
Yeah.
And this is really good for people who are listening and not watching, because magic is very good on the radio. I mean, that's
imagine
rarely.
Yeah. Not seeing cards.
Yeah, exactly. Amazing.
I didn't even pick a card. How did you know?
Exactly.
That's right.
So you may have noticed we've got a couple different things going on today. First of all, we have a new start time, 2:30. This is going to be our start time from here on out, because I am now working for Screen Junkies News in the mornings.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. I am kind of like a news editor and writer for them. So that is in the mornings, and then I come down here and talk about Marvel news specifically. Fantastic. So yeah, that's fun. Awesome. So if you don't get enough of my face on Tuesdays, tune in to Screen Junkies News, and you might see me periodically over there. Especially if there's Marvel news, they're like, "Oh, we got Becky, pull him in." And then also we have a new, like, associate producer named Oliver.
I'm excited to be here. Marvel news, like. Let's do this, guys. Let's do this.
Yeah, and Oliver's going to... Oliver is
He said so much by saying so little.
Yeah. Let's do this, guys. We have burning time, and I don't have
any... I'm a little stressed out. You know, I got Twitter going on. I got YouTube, but I'm gonna get this, guys.
Yeah. So be patient with us. We are going computerless today to see if we talk with each other better, engage each other better. It feels very strange, but... We'll be patient with each other. The audience will be patient with us, hopefully. And now that we've spoken for 5 minutes about not Marvel, let's jump into it.
Speaking of patience, I hope you
haven't turned out yet. Deadpool 2. I always put Deadpool first because I need to get you engaged. I know if I don't start with Deadpool, I'll start losing.
If there was no Deadpool and no computers, just hard up. Yeah. Like, Markia somewhere, just not here. Just not here.
So Deadpool 2. Deadpool, you say? There was a casting rumor that broke on that hashtag show later last week that they had a casting breakdown. I'm going to read through it real fast. This is for Nina Thurman, who we all may know as Domino. She is described as female, all ethnicities, late 20s, early 30s, sexy, lithe, athletic. She has a witty personality, is a no-nonsense badass who rarely shows her feelings, highly capable, supremely confident, and armored in, well... armor and bulletproof sarcasm, but beneath that shell, she's still vulnerable, soft, beating remnant of her humanity remains intact. And then it goes on to like talk about kind of the scene a little bit. So, the rumor then went on to say that actresses Gugu Mbatha-Raw and Sienna Miller have both turned down the role.
Interesting.
But that Kerry Washington is still up for it.
I'd like to point out that Sienna Miller has been playing 20s to 30s for so long and still looks incredible doing it and can do all of the stuff that everyone a decade younger than her can, and Sienna Miller is a champion.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, totally agree.
Kerry Washington would kill this role.
Yeah, we've got Kerry Washington on the screen right now. Yeah. She
can't go Unchained, man. Like, that's all I need. Yeah. That was her audition tape for life.
Yeah.
Anything she's up for, I'm like, oh, Django Unchained's Kerry Washington? Why, yes, she'd be perfect.
Why, yes, she should do it.
Because that role was so multifaceted that you could be like, oh, she can be a damsel in distress with a heart of gold but tough? Good. Oh, she can be a damsel in distress but can fight her way out and not need the guy? Good. Oh, she can be, like, someone you need to root for? Like,
she's all
Kerry Washington.
Yeah. So she spoke with Extra TV, I believe yesterday. And they asked her straight up about it, saying, and she said, I don't have anything to say about that. They know more than I do. And then they said, well, would you take the role if you were offered? She said, of course I would. But, you know, you always have to get the right person for whatever role.
Worth noting, Domino is not a damsel in distress in any way. I'm saying she can do everything.
No, she's absolutely not.
I think she'd be... I mean, Domino is going to be a really hard character because when Domino was written originally, it was very, very, like... It didn't get enough. They didn't write her well. Like, they didn't... give depth to the character. Yeah. She was kind of like Black Cat, where it was just like, we have to figure out who she is. So Domino, maybe the reason they turned it down is these actresses are worried about how the character's going to be shaped. So if they do her right, she'll be on par with Deadpool and Cable as a very important character. And I think the writing team knows that it's the high stakes. So I think we're going to get a really cool Domino.
But I'm curious, though. Because you know way more about Deadpool, I think, than most people I know, at least. I got to ask you, though. How would you think you could write this into the film and actually make it make sense? Because, again, the stuff that I've read about Domino, pretty vacant. I mean, like, she's not really, you know, all, you know, like, it's not really well fleshed out as a character. It's like, that's what I'm saying.
The way I'd write her is I'd have
in the movie.
Domino be a force of linear concentration and focus to juxtapose Deadpool's madness, also juxtaposing the straight-lacedness of Cable. So you'd have Cable be the straight guy to Deadpool's humor, and then Domino would be the linear to Deadpool's wacky.
Right.
So you'd have a mercenary that, like, did stuff by chance, and then Domino who did stuff by precision. So where Cable is frustrated with his antics, she'd be frustrated with his mercenary stylings. So I'd have her be the focal point of, like, this is how the job should be, what are you doing? And she could be a total badass without having to be a linear character.
Let me expose my ignorance just for a second. Yeah. Does Domino have any superpowers?
She does. I was just about to throw that into the mix.
She has what they call probability altering powers, which basically means she's extremely lucky. So,
okay. Which is why she can also be written like a poor woman's black cat if they do it wrong. Okay. Yeah. Basically, like, her powers are like, I control probability, so that shot
in
was
my favor.
Really good. Like, it yeah. just, it could be really poorly done, but that's why her character could be the antithesis to Deadpool if they write it right.
But, may I also throw out there, that could be a source of comic frustration.
Oh, absolutely.
For Deadpool to be like, how did you do that? Well, I'm a mutant. It's what I do.
Right, and that's why it'd be fun with the Cable trifectorate. Yeah. Like, you'd have these three characters that are all very different, but all mercenaries in a way, that all handle things very differently. Okay. So.
Because I like, he's so much of a comedic character, he has to play off two straight men.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the fun of it.
That's kind of a fun bit. Yeah, I like that a lot.
All right. Anything else? Because I want to move. We got a lot.
Mel Gibson for Cable.
How long have you been saying Suicide Squad?
10 years.
All right, let's jump over to Cloak and Dagger. We don't really have any news, but we do have the first shot of them together, which is fun.
And it is darling.
It is. They look adorable.
They look adorable. I love the picture of them. I love that it looks like a prom photo. Uh-huh. Something about it just like rings true to like young love.
Well, nice. It looks like they're on a first date.
Yeah.
Like they've had like a really good first date. You know, like, oh, here we are at the beach. Like, they're going to look at this in 10 years and be like, remember that date to the beach? You bought me tacos. And
that's how the show should
I took
feel.
A bite and the chicken went all over. So you're like.
Oh, you're so silly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what that picture is.
That's awesome. Perfect. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
And you had to teleport all that hot sauce to the dark dimension because you're cloaked. Oh, I did.
And then you had to feed me light daggers because I was starting to go over.
It was too
a little
spicy.
Too close to the dark side. Yeah.
We're
fighting
a weird Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah. Oh my god. Anyway, so the actor's name is Aubrey Joseph, and the actress's name is Olivia Holt, and that's it. But they are on set. They look like they're getting along, and that's exciting. So let's move on to Infinity War, where we've got Millie Bobby Brown spotted on set. There's a picture of her there, being pretty much the luckiest kid in the world.
I mean, after being in the best new TV show since Breaking Bad, and then being, like, an internet darling and being just as charming as you are talented, let's go visit the Avengers set.
Yeah. Let's go see what they're doing over there. Hi, Chris Pratt. Hi, Tony Stark. Yeah.
You guys are literal action figures, and I'm a kid young enough to appreciate that as much as people that do Marvel movie news shows might. This is great.
Yeah, as much as 40-year-old adults might. Now, I will caution everybody, a lot of internet rumors started about, like, who she could be possibly playing in Infinity War.
A friend of the director's.
Yeah. That's, our guess is
pretty sure she's just hanging out, right? She's just hanging out. She's just a kid hanging out.
Atlanta.
Yeah, our guess was that the Russo brothers were like, wait, Stranger Things 2 is filming around here? Get 11 over here.
Yeah, maybe everyone's get 11 a over fan here? Of Stranger Things on the planet.
Yeah.
So maybe they don't want to have that happen.
Yeah, in fact, look at how bored she looks. She was probably pulled over there against her will. She's like, Avengers, I guess.
I don't know.
Brian. I have powers.
I'm kidding, Brian.
I'm
kidding.
I have powers on this set. Where are my egos?
All I do here is sit and watch other people have fun. I want to return.
That said, if they ever did a Power Pack show, Millie Bobby Brown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
There's
absolutely.
My fan cast. That's all I
You're
I mean,
very good at the koi cast.
Yeah, that's version. Yeah.
So let's do we have anything or?
I mean, Millie, she's teaming up for like the next Avengers in a couple of years. So she's I don't know what character she could possibly be, but I mean, right now apparently Kyle says she's gonna be in Godzilla 2. I don't know.
Sure.
She's multitasking right now, and she's only 13 years old. So I mean, we'll see her in the MCU one day. I'm sure.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure.
MCU's
still young.
She's researching right now.
Yeah,
a couple years.
She's laying the groundwork.
She's doing her own thing.
All right, well, let's move on to Inhumans. First of all, we've got big news on this, but I want to say right now that they are apparently set to start filming in March, so we're probably going to start getting a cavalcade of casting news.
Oh.
So this is the like, four-hour movie thing to a TV show? Or
this one is weird, and I'm excited about how weird this one is. So... Mm-hmm. The beginning of September, I think the first week of September, I can't remember the exact date. First week of September, we're going to see a 2-hour premiere in IMAX theaters.
Right.
Of the Inhumans.
Okay.
Then about a month later, towards the end of September, like 3 weeks later, it will premiere on ABC, with like an extended hour, like an extended, like even more than what you saw in the theaters, basically.
But it'll be some of what we saw in the theaters. Plus more.
From what I understand, that is correct. Yes, Brian. Okay. But the theaters...
It's like the opposite of The Dark Knight, where you got more, you get less, and you watch it on TV.
Right. Yeah. And the theaters are only IMAX. Like, you can't just go watch it at just, like, whatever theater. It has to be an IMAX theater, because that's how it's being presented.
Wow.
Because it's partially, like, IMAX teamed up with ABC to do just that.
Okay.
So, but it's supposed to start filming in March in Hawaii. There are other rumors that they're going to film some stuff in Chicago and in Los Angeles.
Makes sense.
Sure.
All right, it's whatever. One island. You have a lot to film.
Yeah.
My island has multiple locations.
Hawaii is Adelan.
I'm so excited.
I'm excited for that.
There's so many people excited for Inhumans that there was like a news break of, and they're filming in Chicago. It's like, that's
cool.
Good
for
like,
them.
Yeah. Inhumans has such a fan base now, like because they're like the poor man's X-Men. That like, it's really cool that the Inhumans are getting such a big release.
It's so funny that everyone refers to them as the. Like that, like, oh, well, they're it's Marvel's attempt to get the X-Men, but like they're a Jack Kirby creation, like
they're really weird
so
and cool.
Like weird yeah. And off on their own thing, and
you know what they're not the X-Men.
No, I know, no, I get it. Like the X-Men,
Marvel's X-Men.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So you know what? I'm always gonna hold a grudge against the Inhumans. They're keeping me from my X-Men. Logan looks fantastic.
Drink water. We'll talk about Logan later.
Logan does look fantastic.
But here's the big news about Inhumans, and this just broke today. Actor Ewan Rion. Am I saying that correctly? Iwan? Iwan? Ewan? Iwan? Someone's gonna make a gif of that.
Erwan?
Yeah, Matt like shorting out, like trying to say a name.
Ramsey Bolton.
There. Yeah, Ramsey Bolton. Done. Fixed. Thank you. The actor who played Ramsey Bolton, who might be one of the worst villains ever in television history.
Oh, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Like, pretty easily, has been cast as Maximus the Mad in what could be described as maybe the most perfect casting ever.
He looks absolutely.
He looks so much like the comic character.
He does! Like,
he looks so much like
yeah.
Him.
Like, I got the. I was sitting at my table today, like sitting off news to Screen Junkies and stuff like that, and I got that news and was like, what?! What? Like I was a Selprick character. What? Why? Like I couldn't contain it. But I'm excited about that casting. I think that's pretty dead on perfect casting for Maximus.
It has me more excited for the Inhumans because I was worried about the budget because of how much they'd already had to put towards IMAX, how a show that's filming in IMAX is going to have money for actors. But doing a Marvel property is the best commercial for your career of all time. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to make a lot of money, you just need to get the exposure so you can start directing like Chris Evans and stuff. So him signing on, for me, gives me hope that the script is as good as it needs to be to earn him.
Well, let me also point out, this is only eight episodes.
Right.
So it's not like they're doing a full half season or a full season.
But if
like,
you think
it's
about
eight
a,
episodes.
A movie's 2 hours, that's at minimum eight. So you're talking about four times the budget of anything. Well, with the power set, that's a lot of money.
Sure.
That was like Peggy Carter was eight episodes. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
But IMAX is already like, 5 years ago, IMAX was prohibitively expensive. So the fact that they're doing 2 episodes of an 8 hour show and all these powers, I hope they have the money.
Well, let me throw this out at you. It's entirely possible that IMAX gave ABC
production money. Oh, I'm sure they funded
like,
a lot, yeah.
Like, you know, like, I'm sure they gave them the cameras for free.
Right.
You know, because
it's not
so,
like you don't want Marvel in your wheelhouse.
Exactly.
We don't really need those Marvel guys in our theater.
So let me throw out his description to you real fast. He's been described in, like, Hollywood Reporter, Variety. I think maybe this had come with the press release. He's described as a clever and charming Inhuman that is fiercely devoted to the people of Atalan, especially his brother, the King, though he harbors an intense desire to wear the crown for himself. Showrunner Scott Buck, who did Dexter and is also finishing up Iron Fist, says Maximus is a complex character, likable, charming, and villainous all at the same moment. And Jeff Loeb said of the character, Ewan's ability to be charming, roguish, and still completely unexpectedly dangerous were all different sides we need to bring the character to life. So, I totally agree.
Perfect.
I totally agree. Quick background on who Maximus is, for those who don't know. First of all, he's a brother to King Black Bolt. King Black Bolt is the king of the Inhumans. Or at least the king of the Inhumans of Atalan. Mm-hmm. We've since discovered that there's other Inhuman cities, like Oralan. And then there's like the weird corporate one that was looked over by the devil. I can't remember
you
that character.
You know so much more about Inhumans than I do.
I like the Inhumans.
I'm happy for you.
I like the Inhumans. I think they're great. I prefer the X-Men, but I love the Inhumans too. I think that they're their own wonderful and great thing.
There we can agree.
So Black Bolt's power is that like...
It's a royal decree. That was a royal
motion
decree.
Motion pass.
if Black Bolt speaks, he can level like a mountain. Like if he whispers, like he could destroy an entire building. But if he speaks, if he's like, hey, Koi, he like blows up a city. Like he's like a nuclear bomb in his voice. Maximus's power is that he is so intelligent, he went insane. Like he's like one of the...
he's odd power.
He is so much more intelligent than almost anybody else on Earth. That he it's kind of like do we have Doctor Who fans? Doctor Who fans?
Sure.
The Doctor Who, the Master, when he looked into time and kind of heard the drums and lost his sanity, Maximus is very much the same kind of character, where he's like, he has seen the Matrix and it drove him mad, sort of thing.
It's like Grant Morrison's Joker thing, where he's like so hyper-intelligent, he's more sane than everyone, which made him insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Basically, yeah. So, I love the character. I think it's great, and I think it'll be fun to see him as a villain, because...
Yeah.
Like,
I think he does pretty well.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Namor is getting rumors of a new show. This also comes to us from Real News Hawaii, where they said that according to their Twitter feed, both Aquaman and Namor, they just said the Submariner, are going to be filming off of their shores soon. Aquaman makes sense. Namor.
They got the rights back a couple years ago.
They did. They did. I see two possibilities. Three. Three possibilities here. Do you want me to list them?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. Well, we are here to do that, right?
What else are we doing?
He is either getting his own show. Mm-hmm. John Ridley, I believe is his name, who did, I think he's the screenwriter on 12 Years a Slave, has been developing that show with Marvel for like almost 2 years now. No one knows what it is. Hyper secretive. Could be Namor that he's doing. Could be that they're making him an Inhuman, and he's going to be in the Inhumans.
Intrigue.
The third option is a combination of that one and the first one.
Backdoor pilot?
Not a backdoor pilot. It is they are mistaking the Submariner for Triton.
That'd be sad for everyone that's a Namor fan.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if they're either mistaking Namor for Triton, who's part of the Inhuman royal family, and he's basically Namor. Except he's not the king of Atlantis.
Right.
And he's more fish-like.
Mm-hmm.
Either that, or they are going to make Namor part of the Inhuman royal family.
And take
the place of Triton.
Clerical error. There's also a possible scene featuring Namor in Infinity War, and they're filming in Hawaii, and they assume it's bigger than they think it is. Backdoor pilot.
Sure.
That's totally an option.
Sure.
Like, we don't know who's in Infinity War, and there's so many characters. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, I don't know anyone who's begging or clamoring for a Namor show. Maybe some of our fans are, and if they are, please let us know. I would love to know.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag right now. I don't know. People are calling him Barnacle Boy right now.
Barnacle Boy.
But, like...
They
want Namor in the MCU.
The best way to get Namor is through Aquaman. I mean, the only way we're going to give any credibility to these water boys is through Jason Momoa, because he's going to be awesome as Aquaman. That's the only, like, credibility we're going to get is through DC. Full DC credit.
You want to know the irony of that? Namor came first.
I know. But
Namor came in Marvel number one from 1939, 1940.
Yeah, he was like Golden Age Human Torch era.
Bill Everett. Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, that is he's one of the first.
Yeah,
he's the first mutant, right?
Well, he's the first mutant, but he wasn't the first mutant, and because mutants didn't exist in Marvel number one.
Right, and they can't call him a mutant in the MCU. He's a Miracle Boy.
No, but that's why he could be an Inhuman.
True.
So I mean,
because they take all the best stories and writers anyway.
Anyway, that's my. Do you guys have a take on this? Are you excited? Would you want to watch Namor? Anybody here?
No. I just could not care less.
Not my first pick.
Seriously, could not care less.
I would watch it just to see what they did with it. You know, the first one or two.
I just watch it because it was out. Yeah. I wouldn't really seek it.
Yeah. I am so Marvel through and through.
I'd watch it because Marvel's on.
No, you're wrong. I would watch it because I would have to, right? For the completion of the set.
But there's a lot.
Yeah, exactly. You know? We're all completionists
but,
here.
I mean, do I care? No.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same. When they were like, Submariner, I was like, I guess. But if John August is doing it, that would be cool. And like, maybe they could do like some really cool politics with it. And maybe it ends up being like Atlantis versus Edelan. Like,
my thing with Namor is I love him and the Storm, like Sue Storm. I love him and the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, exactly.
And without the Fantastic Four, I can't really invest. And that's face Fantastic Four. If that happens, sure.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe Namor will end up being a bad guy in Inhumans.
I'm cool with it.
And he teams up with Maximus, and Maximus helps find a way to get all the Atlanteans inside of Atalan. I mean, Atalan and Atlantis, Atalas.
Are clearly very similar, but not because
Atalan and Atlantis are both kind of from the same root. So.
Right, and anyway. Post-credit scene, Sue Storm. And then we get Fantastic Four.
Nerds. All right. Let's move on to... it's not really Captain Marvel news so much as it's Samuel L. Jackson Nick Fury news. But he, let's see, he was speaking with a site called WeGotThisCovered.com, and they asked him if he would ever want to do just a solo Nick Fury movie. And his answer was, not surprisingly, yeah, I'd love to do a Nick Fury movie. I'm always open in game, but they got Infinity Wars, two movies to do there. And then after that, there's Brie Larson's movie, Captain Marvel, which maybe Nick will be a part of. So, I don't know. The rumor, the internet went nuts.
I thought Captain Marvel was in between the two Infinity Wars.
It is.
Okay.
It is. So there's Black Panther. Then I believe there's... Is Ant-Man and the Wasp before the Infinity War? I think it might be after.
I think it's after.
It's after.
I think, yeah. Black Panther, Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, Infinity War 2. Mm-hmm. I think that's the next order.
Jesus.
That's next year.
Yeah. That's the next three years. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got some.
No, I know. It's not all next, but that starts next.
Every
year.
Month. They've been very busy.
Yeah. Marvel releases a movie every month. Yeah.
No.
Matt
Key confirmed.
No. Stop it. Get out.
2012.
I was hoping that someone would say that while I was on the show. As a fan, I just wanted to say, hear that.
Well, there's still time for you to say it.
All right.
What do you here now? I could see Nick Fury being a part of it. I really could. I think that the internet got excited to hear that he thought he might be, but I don't think that Samuel L. Jackson's even heard. Yeah, there's no confirmation at all. But I can understand where people would be excited. We saw him in Age of Ultron, but we didn't see him in Civil War, which seems a little strange because it seems like he would be in Civil War. You'd be like, well, what are you guys doing? Let's work together. But you know, and he's on the lam.
Yeah,
he's on the lam. Like he's a hunted man.
He was so good in Winter Soldier. Don't rush him into something else.
He was so good in Winter Soldier,
and it was an important character. Good. I want Nick Fury to only show up when he's needed, not when he's a button. Like I don't want an Easter egg Fury. I want Fury to be earned.
The Easter Fury.
I don't want the Easter Fury.
Pop! Here comes the Easter Fury. Yeah,
he's going to be in Infinity War though, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
He's got to.
He's got to be. Yeah, he's got to be.
You know, we don't want any snakes on any planes and anything else. I want some real Nick Fury.
Here's where I would love to see Nick Fury come into Captain Marvel. I don't think Captain Marvel has her powers in Infinity War.
So you think she gets her powers?
Somehow gets her powers during Infinity War.
That's
I think
that makes sense.
And I think she's probably like an Air Force captain or something like that. She's probably liaising? I think it's liaising, though. Thank you, Brian. She's liaising with Tony Stark's Avengers, or maybe like Captain Rogers is snuck in and he's like working with the Air Force undercover, like on the sly. You know, I don't know. But she gets mixed up in the Avengers fight with Thanos. And he brings the Psyche Magnetron for, you know, why not? And she gets her back. They're probably not going to do
Psyche Magnetron.
Not going to do the Psyche Magnetron.
Yeah, they're probably most definitely not going to do the Psyche Magnetron.
I was thinking
until
Captain Marvel 1 just came out and had a speech bubble about it. It had a single,
wait, did they really?
A single line of dialogue featured that phrase, so I think it is canon. Because
It's totally canon.
No. Like, you introduce a number one to get the comic fans about to see her interested. So I don't think they would have mentioned that unless they planned on using it. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
They had the chance for a soft reboot, didn't take it. I also would love her to be introduced to that concept, and then at the end of the movie, Samuel Jackson, Iron Man 1 style, comes and recruits her.
That's where I was going.
I want some old school post credits.
That's where
like
I was going to go.
Nick Fury hype.
Yeah, you took it.
I like mine.
Yeah, it's fair. That's
compliment
fair.
To both of us.
But I do think she'll get her powers in Infinity War, because otherwise, like, she's really OP. Like, she's pretty OP. Like, you know, like, between her and Doctor Strange both fighting Thanos, and, like, if they have, like, someone cosmic like Adam Warlock come in or something, like, I don't know. That's
he killed
pretty...
half the universe, man.
I know.
There's
I
still
know.
A lot of fighting.
I know. I'm just saying, like, she's pretty powerful. So I think she gets her powers in Infinity War. Mm-hmm. That's why she has a Captain Marvel movie, because Nick Fury's like, so you think you're Captain Marvel now? Like, haha, no, you're not. Let me show you how to be that. Like,
with that accent.
With that accent, yeah.
It's a really weird montage.
I'm convinced, though. My theory about Infinity War is that the first one is definitely like Empire. Like, I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of like people are dying. It's going to be like it's going to end on a very, very, very dour note. So it kind of makes sense to say that she would get her powers, or maybe that is the one little tiny bright thing that like links us, links us then to the next thing.
Could you have the next movie, the superpowered characters start to take them out, and then you can bring whatever characters back from the dead you need to, and then contracts.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I like that idea.
There you go.
Yeah, I do think probably in the first 5 minutes they'll kill Spider-Man. I'm just kidding.
Oh, sir, Coy's face. That was awesome.
No, I know.
That's another gift for the internet.
That's good.
Awesome. I think not. Unless they bring in death for Gundam's love, and then all are happy.
I do. The more and more I think about it, the more I'm a little more convinced that maybe Hela could be death.
Interesting.
Like, I don't want that to be the case.
Right, because that'd be a lot of continuity comic-wise.
I could see where they could make... I can see the argument for it.
All right.
So, yeah. And Hela's in Thor.
Thor Ragnarok, right. Yeah.
Kate Blanchett.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah, yeah, she could play.
I mean, that's a big...
I mean, that's a big get.
I still want Evergreen as death.
Oh, man.
Because, man, Evergreen is dead. Like, I could see Thanos and Deadpool lusting after Evergreen.
Yeah.
I get it.
All right, well, moving on.
PG show. Let's be polite.
Guardians of the Galaxy. So we still have not seen Kurt Russell in the role of Ego. Well, sorry. I've seen it. Because it was
I've seen it, too.
Oh, have you?
Mm-hmm. I was at the same Comic-Con panel you were.
So this side of the table's seen it. So we've seen it, and we can confirm.
Yes.
We can confirm.
I can confirm.
That,
does Matt Key confirm?
Matt Key can confirm.
Yeah, in this one, yeah.
As can
John Armstrong can also confirm this.
That this toy does indeed look like Kurt Russell in the movie.
Yeah.
They're not lying to you with this picture, is basically what I'm trying to say. They're not pulling any wool over anybody's eyes. This is what he looks like in the movie.
Amazing.
Like so, Kurt Russell.
Like Kurt Russell in a beige khaki shirt and dark olive green pants.
Never would have guessed.
Okay.
But he does have the beard and he does have that scarf thing and the pouches and satchels and all. So this is the closest look so far that we've seen to what he looks like in the film if you don't count the
pop, at least in that scene in the film, you know.
In that one scene, yeah.
In that one scene, yeah.
He may take
it's obviously because he's a human planet. You know, a living planet.
Yeah,
you know,
look at other looks.
Yeah.
A living planet, yeah. Anthropomorphized planet who wills himself to bipedal sentience. Yeah.
I'm so ready for this movie in my life.
Man. I can't wait.
It's
just me saying that sentence made me giddy.
It's February, guys. We're getting there.
Slowly.
Like May.
Like
May.
April. So we've got two more quick stories to get through before we get to some of the bigger stuff. Spider-Man Homecoming, Legos. They did it again.
Always
with the Legos. So we've got... you can't really tell what's going on here. Potential spoiler, but not really.
Diet spoiler.
Sure, diet spoiler. Yeah. I'll tell you why I included it in just a second. But there's a truck. You see a truck, and it looks like there's a laser popping out of it, and Iron Man and Spider-Man are fighting it and the Vulture. Like, so
we know all that already.
I mean, we basically know that at some point...
I didn't know there was a truck in Spider-Man. That's a reveal. I didn't want to know there was a truck. Now I know.
So at one point, Iron Man and Spider-Man are chasing a truck with Vulture. Now, here's the only reason I included this, because you don't really learn anything that we don't basically already know. Only reason I included this, they blacked out someone in the window. There's a mystery figure.
Yeah.
In the window, and then, you know, we're in the down in the corner where it's like, we got the Vulture, Iron Man, and Spider-Man, and he's got, like, his web power or whatever. They blocked out the character there. So now, who's that character?
The most important thing to me about this is that Lego has finally learned to respect spoilers.
That's I was totally just about to say that. I'm like, this is the first time, because you guys have been using this.
Yep.
From this show, I got that. When I travel around the world doing my show, I'm like, I will go to places that sell Lego, like I'm in Denmark and things like that. Like, and I'm like, oh, I'm like looking through Legos to see if there's any spoilers in the Legos. Like, I'm learning stuff. Like, I saw that the Giant Man thing, set way before, because it's not even Toy Fair, because it just had it, like, I was when I was in Denmark. It was amazing.
That's amazing.
So, like, this that now it's like, hey, they finally caught on to you guys.
Thank you.
Lego is listening to you guys, and you should be proud of it.
Hashtag spoilers in the Lego.
Yeah. So this was taken at the New York Toy Fair, where
that's fascinating.
They actually blacked that out at the Toy Fair too. Like,
good.
Like, that's one. Like, they didn't black it out on the picture. That's blacked out at the Toy Fair.
Oh, so the Toy Fair colored it in.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, Lego probably colored it in on behalf of the Toy Fair.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's a win-win, because not only do we get more hype, it causes mystery, we're talking about it, but we also don't have the reveal that ruined, like, I didn't want to know about Ant-Man, Giant Man. I didn't want that. I mean, I knew it was going to happen, but I didn't want to know. I didn't want to see it. So now we get...
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is great. Thank you,
I think
Lego.
It's great. So my question to you... Who's in the car? Is it Shocker? I think it's Shocker.
Which is less of a spoiler than me. Yeah. Hey, so Shocker's in the movie and someone's driving a truck. I think it's probably Shocker.
I think it's Shocker.
But if it's not, then I can't wait to look back at this episode and be like, oh,
I know who it is.
That'll be cool.
All I know is that that villain's definitely Lego shaped. That's that's what we can tell from that.
In the movie, probably.
He's got a little cap on his head. That's all I know.
That's all we get.
All right. One last thing, and this just came in this morning. A Malaysian actress named Raja Ilya, in an interview with Star 2, said that I can't get any accurate shooting location for now. I've just been informed to fly to Hollywood by the end of the year for a role selection and for which Marvel title I'll be working on. So this actress has been brought in by Marvel to play a mystery role. I don't know anything about it. And in fact, the way she says it, I mean, this could just be like a rough translation, it sounds like she doesn't even have a role yet. I have to acknowledge it because a lot of people are excited about it. A lot of the fans are wondering about it. In fact, Joshua Never Josh at Lefty Twilight says Abigail Brand or Jessica Drew. Absolutely, I could see both of those. But the way she says it is, for the end of the year, for role selection, for which Marvel title I'll be working on, it sounds like she's coming here to audition, you know?
It could be anything. And obviously every actress wants to be mentioned in the same sentence as Marvel. I hope that, I mean, for her sake, great, good for her.
Sounds more like she's falling for a scam. Yeah, I think it's an online scam.
She's at the mall, and she's been recruited to a Marvel movie.
Modeling academies, like the Brothers on, something like that. That's what this is.
It's the Marvel version.
Yeah, it's the Marvel
version. Come in, and if you graduate, you get to be put in a Marvel
movie. Yeah, we're going to learn you become a superhero movie.
We'll make you an Inhuman.
$100 a day.
Koi will hate you.
Why? If you ruin my X-Men. Jessica Drew is a great character that's been fixed lately in the comics in a magical way. Spider-Woman in the comic is the best it's ever been right now.
It's a great book. Yeah. I really like the book.
Jessica Drew as a mother.
I'm like a month behind.
It's a great book.
And Porcupine is like the most likable.
I know, right?
Like, read Spider-Woman. But if it's really good.
Yeah.
Then I'm all in for Jessica Drew series.
I think Jessica Drew would be really actually good, like a Netflix series. Oh, I generally do it. Yeah. The book now, at least.
The irony of Jessica Jones beating Jessica Drew to the big screen, is amazing.
Screen in general, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, that.
She was based on.
Brian Michael Bendis wanted to write Jessica Drew. Marvel's like, we don't know this Bendis guy. So they let him invent Jessica Jones. She's now everything, and the entire Marvel Universe is based off Bendis, effectively. So it's maybe we should bring in Jessica Drew?
Yeah.
Maybe it's time?
So that'd be cool. And congrats to this actress if it's not a Barbazon's game.
Exactly.
I don't think it is. Congratulations to the actress who is 90% not watching our show.
90.
Maybe she works for Lego now and she's watching the show. You don't know that.
She's blacking out the Shocker.
Exactly. She's doing that right now.
97% chance she's not watching the show. That's the end of our quick bits. We had a lot to get through.
Do we have any information on the actress? Has she done other things? Do we know what?
I didn't.
Because it just came out this morning.
I haven't had a chance to really look into it any further.
Curious.
I do want to tell everybody about the wonders of Blue Apron.
My stomach can agree. They are wonderful.
So Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country, and their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. I don't know if maybe you've seen the commercials that are online right now about how, like, here's the food industry, and everything is colored and kind of fake, but here's, like, real ingredients, and we're working with actual farmers to bring fresh food to you. Yeah.
Which I thought was crazy, because I've done food service things before, and their food was, like, locally sourced and delicious, not one or the other.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah, so, they believe that cooking together builds strong family bonds, and research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly 3 times more often, which makes total sense to me, because they're getting, like, I think the biggest problem is that when I go to the grocery store, I don't know what to get.
Mm-hmm. You get the one thing, like, you get all the ingredients at one, and then you're like,
You know, like, even though I'm married, I'm still such a bachelor. I go to the grocery store, I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna make chicken, I'm gonna do this, or I could just make mac and cheese.
What if I got cereal and milk?
Yeah. So I think that's the good thing about Blue Apron is that they say, hey, we're making all of this super easy for you, and it's delicious. Why would you say no? So let me tell you some of their featured meals. Cashew chicken stir fry with tangle mandarins and jasmine rice. Roasted pork with apple, walnut, and farro salad. Crispy barramundi with quinoa and roasted carrot. Or udon noodle soup with miso and soft-boiled eggs. That's the one I would get.
I just did the cheddar cheeseburger, which was incredible. The baked manicotti, and then I have one tonight. Oh, chicken chili. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying they're all really good. I can't do dairy because it makes my skin angry. So yeah. I made the burger, one with no cheese, one with cheese. Found a homeless person in my neighborhood, ate it with them, and it was awesome. Made a friend.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
It was really cool. So I couldn't do cheese. And I was talking about that on the show before. There, we give the discount, and we give, which we'll get to at the end, you get your first three for free. So basically, if you don't want all of them, then make someone's day, life, world, year. So it's a really cool thing to do, and you get to learn how to cook, so everyone wins, and that guy won't forget that.
I had no idea you were a good person.
I know. It's weird.
No idea.
I hide it as best as possible.
You do. You hide it very well.
Deep down.
Unless, of course, that homeless person was lactose intolerant, and you were just a jerk.
And I left right away before I found out.
All
right.
So they've got it's very affordable. It's less than $10 per meal. You can choose from a wide variety of new recipes every week, so there's always something different to look for. They guarantee their freshness.
The holiday season.
Freshness,
yeah. Let's see. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free, as you said, with free shipping. You didn't say that. It's free shipping, which is...
It's awesome. It's a great program, guys.
Yeah. You go to blueapron.com/Marvel. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. That's blueapron.com/Marvel. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. So, thank you for sponsoring our show, Blue Apron. We appreciate that, and we appreciate how delicious you are. It's nice to have a sponsor we
actually enjoy. It's authentic.
Yeah, so...
Speaking of authentic sponsors...
Oh, are we going to jump into movement? I was going to say that for after show, but we can talk about movement
while
watches.
We're sponsoring.
Yeah, talk about movement, man.
Now, I have no in front of me. I'm just going to say it from the heart. NVMT watches are a company that cut out the middleman and actually pass on savings. I am a watch guy, and usually watches are prohibitively expensive because you got to go through either stores or through online dealers or scary guys in bad alleys. And this prevents that by literally they only have online representation, so you can buy the watch through them. And they have watches starting at $95, which is insane for a good watch, not like a Walmart. No offense to Walmart. I see you, Walmart.
They're not sponsoring our show.
They're not, and we know what you do. So these are like real quality watches. They've got tons of great styles. They're all like really nice looking. I have three now. I really love this company. And basically, we pass along a further discount if you use mvmt.com/Marvel. I believe it's 15% off.
15% off.
15% off. And
with free shipping and free returns if the watch doesn't work. If it's not your stuff.
If it's not your style. Not just if it doesn't work because it'll work. They're great, and they basically go through podcasts, and instead of doing commercials, they use podcasts that care about them and actually get the word out. So MVMT is a great company, and I like what they do, and I like how they look, which is my slogan. I like what they do, and I like how they look.
That's a very nice watch.
And that's without any interest.
Yeah, you don't even have
heart.
That's from the heart. Yeah, you've got it memorized. Yeah. I have not been a watch guy since I moved to California. And then
like Paul Rudd in Hawaii, where he just doesn't eat.
Sure. Yeah, you know that movie that I saw.
Fine. We'll need your references anyway.
These guys came along and sponsored our show, and now I'm a watch guy.
Yeah.
I'm a watch guy. Yeah. So anyway, so there's that. Let's talk to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. real quick.
Before we do that, I should mention Some love to Dallas Stanler.
Oh, yeah.
Do it.
Dallas Stanler surprised us by sending this in to our office. We found it on the desk today.
Yeah, and we got into the studio.
Beautiful beast of a book. The Marvel Encyclopedia, which is going to make me do my job better. I don't know.
You're already so bad at it.
I don't know Marvel. Who is this guy? so I'm like super excited to read the nitty gritty, and like there's no way to read every single comic from the 60s to now, and stuff like this really helps, like, you know, see what's canon and see what even exists anymore. So I want to thank Dallas for sending this in.
I'm excited
to check it out. I'm excited to see what the world is, and thank you, man.
All right. Good work, Dallas. Thank you. You are an incredible individual. Aunt Manthony, do we have a video from Doom? I did not see one in my inbox. Did he send one in? Hey, Marissa!
You've changed.
No, there's no Doom.
Oh, there's no Doom. All right. Well,
I can sum it up for you.
Oh,
if you'd like.
Can you?
Sure.
Go for it, please.
He really loves the show a lot. There you go.
Oh, I thought you were going to actually talk about this.
No, I'm just going to sum up his video
for
you.
That is a concise Doom minute, that is.
And I'll tell you what. I watched the show
because of how much he loves that show.
That's what I mean. Like, he loves Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He has made
me stay with the show in places where I probably would not have stayed. And I'm glad for it.
I love how much he loves that show.
Yeah. He loves that show.
Doom's the real deal. Hey. I saw him at Geek and Sundry last week.
Just hyping it. He just loves it. So the Doom Minute this week is us talking about how much he loves.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good minute.
I mean, I will say, I watched the last week and I didn't take any notes, so I can't think of anything off the top of my head except that I was like, it's a good episode. Yeah. Now, warning on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., tonight's episode is the last one until April.
Ooh, that is a good point.
So what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been doing is, like, they did kind of three different sort of pods. That's what they're calling them. So we had Ghost Rider. This is LMD. Don't know what the third one's going to be, but tonight ends.
So this is the climax of the LMD pod.
Supposedly, yes. Okay, that's what I understand.
Great hour-long Marvel show, Legion.
It's so good.
Legion is incredible.
It's your only two episodes behind. Okay. So just the pilot, then one, and it's incredible. So good.
Yeah,
it's great.
Wednesday nights.
It's like, it's stupid good. Like, I watch it going, like, what did I do to earn this?
Yeah.
Like, how did we as a society deserve this? Because it's like the best X-Men we've never gotten until maybe Logan. Like, we might actually have two X-Men properties this year Logan for the first time since 2000. Because Logan looks so good. And Legion is that good. Like, Legion is a character that did not get a lot of love until recently, and now the show is, like, in-camera editing, like, I haven't seen since the 70s, acting that's superb, they take it seriously, it feels like the comic, a lot of it feels like the transitions between scenes feel like transitions between pages in a book. It is surreal, it's incredible, so if you're not watching Legion, you're only two behind, check it out.
Yeah, totally agree. It's on FX, I think you can watch it on Hulu.
FX, quietly the best network on TV.
You watched the first episode on Hulu.
I saw the second one.
Between Atlanta, Always Sunny, and Legion, like, FX is quietly the best network on TV. It's so good. There's so much good stuff.
All right, let's move on. Marvel Phase 3. Now, last week I wasn't here, but I know you guys talked about the concept art that came out of the Doctor Strange home release.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some quotes in there that I pulled that I wanted to briefly talk about.
You like this Doctor Strange guy.
Yeah. I thought we could, like, spend the last, like let's do, like, two more hours on talking about that film.
Let's do the Lord of the Rings cut.
Or the Fate
of the Furious cut. Have you heard that?
No, it's like 3 hours of it's like this epic.
What is it?
2 hours and 40 minutes of Fast and the Furious. The Fate of the Furious.
That's the actual theatrical release?
I'm so hyped. That's what they're saying. That's the internet.
That's crazy.
I'm real hyped.
You know how honest the internet is.
Patient, honest, the internet.
Patient and true. Describe the internet in two words. Patient true. Yeah. So Thanos' plans for the Infinity War. Here's what Infinity War's co-writer Stephen McFeely says. Thanos' goal is to rebalance the universe as he sees it. So when he figures out that the Infinity Stones could do this for him at the snap of a finger, that becomes his main goal. So in the comics, his goal was impress death by killing half the universe.
Mm-hmm.
This one is to rebalance it. I don't know what that means. It's entirely possible
it could still involve death.
It could still involve death and him, like, rebalancing the universe on her behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. What do you guys think?
I would argue that if death was in the movie, that I would phrase it this way. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh,
if I were to be a character, I'd be like, he has to do the thing that he must do, and if he does the thing, he is happy. Like, that is like,
absolutely. Literally,
this is both everything and nothing at once, because when we look back, I'd be like, that is what he did. But also, like, this gives me no information.
If they're smart, you won't find out about death until after, like, someone leaks it from a screening.
Smart and as snipery as they have been, we won't find out until we're in the movie.
Exactly. That's the way it should be. I really absolutely want that. But yeah, I don't think you're gonna find out anything about that.
So much of Civil War surprised me, and so much of Age of Ultron didn't. So I think they're going in the right direction.
No, absolutely.
I totally agree, and I think James Gunn is taking that to, like, a whole other level.
We know, like, very little about what's happening.
Almost nothing.
Constantly on Facebook, James Gunn's always like, "Let's do a live chat," and he'll just answer the most creatively deceptive, not even deceptive, most creatively, like,
around the answer.
It's just like this. I'm like, guy, it's perfect. I'm so excited. Mm. So if they keep doing in that direction, we're going to be great. We're not going to know anything until we're in the movie, and that's how it should be.
I realize it's not Marvel at all, but have you seen those Josh Gad videos where he's asking Daisy Ridley? It's so funny. It's the greatest thing.
Chris Pratt on Guardians of the Galaxy.
very funny.
I love that man in Star-Lord. He is always Star-Lord. He walks around like Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. I now feel that way about Chris Pratt. Like, I was watching Jurassic World like, man, Star-Lord and Raptors. All right, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm in.
So this, to me, says nothing and everything, and this is how I want press releases to be.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's
exactly I thought it was a perfect answer. Yeah, so let's talk about Black Panther real quick. Again, we don't have too much, but it's the first time we're really hearing any information about it. Ryan Coogler says, Panther exists in a gray area. In addition to being a soldier, he has a more important job as a politician. He's constantly making these choices in the fogs of war, politics and the fog of war. So, what does that say to you guys?
It's a political thriller like we want it to be, man.
Yeah, exactly what it is.
This is not a movie with gray minions and space holes. That's what that says to me, and that excites me.
Agreed.
So dumb with space holes. I think every week I've gotten to mention how mad I am at space holes, because like, I went through and rewatched a bunch of movies, and I felt like every single one had a space hole.
Yeah.
So like the fact that we're getting a political thriller a la the Harrison Ford era, this is exactly what it needs to be. That is Black Panther. Like, I either wanted a Manchurian Candidate movie or a Black James Bond movie. We might get both.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. This might be the closest I get to Idris Elba as James Bond, and if it is, then make mine Marvel.
Well, you're already Make Mine Marvel.
I mean, No, I'm just my first time at the show.
Make Mine Bond Marvel. That's what I'm saying.
No, but like, if Black Panther is this political, then we have like so much to play with, because Michael B. Jordan is like, I would argue, the best actor of this generation, like the under 30, around 30 generation. Michael B. Jordan's it. Like, he's charismatic, he's charming, he's smart, he's got the physicality. That fighting Chadwick Boseman, the political thriller with the Black Panther?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
What have I done to deserve this? Take 7. Like, it's just so much hype, man.
Well, let me tell you. Let me go on. Kevin Feige had a couple of quotes in that bit. He says, "We deal with royalty. We deal with royal families. But unlike our other films, it's right here on Earth. We get to explore different cultures and different aspects of our world." Speaking about Wakanda, because Wakanda, as we all know, has been like very isolationist country. They haven't really expanded beyond their borders. They've remained very mysterious and insular. And now they're seeing, like, oh, we need to involve ourselves much, much more than we have. And I think that's what he's talking about here, is that, like, we're going to discover stuff that exists on Earth that we didn't know existed on Earth.
This is my favorite quote.
Yeah.
This one, because to me, we've seen cultures we know. We've seen, like, largely America-based Marvel movies. We've seen, like, Captain America represents us, and, like, Ant-Man represents science. Like, we've seen things that are in our wheelhouse as Americans. We have not seen royalty. We don't, like, that's such a different world, and they're so, when I went to South Africa, the culture, like, struck me for days. Like, I just was overwhelmed by it. If they capture that in the movie, plus a culture that they can kind of augment and invent and play around with, like, we'll get something like we've never seen in a superhero movie. We'll get something that is richer in culture than we usually get to experience, and that, I mean, that sounds like their focus.
Yeah.
Jidenna, the guy that did the Hail to the Chief song in Luke Cage, I've become moderately obsessed with. So I'm alive, and then his album came out Friday. That album has 14 tracks that are all different genres that span everything from Nigerian culture to American culture, and it made me realize, like, if Black Panther can do that, then we'll get a movie that isn't a superhero movie. We'll get an actual movie. And, like, Marquia keeps talking about, maybe this will be our Oscar. You know, this will be when we transfer over.
I hope so, man. That would be amazing.
And all these quotes sound like that. Like, all these quotes are like, we decided to make a movie. So, I'm excited.
See, the thing that gets me about this is that I genuinely think that this is their first time that they're going to be able to, like, take some stuff that's actually going on in politics currently, in the world and the way things are going, and, you know, and sort of this nationalism and isolationism and a lot of the stuff that's going on right now, and be able to put it directly into this. We're talking about this being an Oscar film. I mean, Oscar films are usually ones that are, you know, political or talking about some sort of topical. I think they can actually do that with this, you know, talk about what's kind of going on without, you know, naming names or mentioning the current president of the United States and that kind of stuff. And actually,
Black Panther's real. It's just an alternative fact.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And just being able to, like, you know, play in that world and say the statements you want to say, which is like...
And you can make it like, you know, this isn't real. It's a Marvel property. But being like...
Right, exactly.
So before we move on, is there anything else you want to talk about with Black Panther?
That second quote is everything.
No, the second quote, right? Is there anything on the live chat or on Twitter that we need to know about?
The chat is blowing up. They're excited for Black Panther. I'm excited for Black Panther. Just seeing it at the end of Civil War, like, it's going to be a great film. I'm so ready for it.
Yeah?
I'm so ready. Come on.
And the chat's happy.
Any, the chat is really happy about it.
Any chat highlights for anything while we're doing the live read, anything that we should, any questions or breezy over stuff? I feel so naked with that. This is me reaching out, man.
Well, someone wants to know if they got the package. Colt said something, if you got like something from...
Tell him I've been bothering... Colt, I've been talking to Adam every single day. I'm at Screen Junkies, and he promises he's going to bring it in.
Intrigue.
I'm like, he sent me a package like in October.
Oh, wow.
But he sent it to Hector.
Oh,
and then
gotcha.
Hector gave it to Adam, because Adam goes into Screen Junkies more often, because he actually works there.
Posting Essential Small Order, like, I'll give it to the other guy we see all the time. Yeah, I'll totally bring it in October.
Yeah. So, sorry, Colt. Colt, by the way, is our social media guy. He posts on our Twitter. He's all from the Starjammer, as we all know. All right, let's close it off with Logan. It's going to move on with Logan.
Dude.
It's great.
First of all.
It's great.
First, yeah, it's in 2 weeks. First of all, the reviews are all amazing.
It's
like, all the reviews are like, it's good.
The first negative review on Rotten Tomatoes spoiled the movie, so let the record show that I read one sentence and now know some of the third act, and I'm real mad at someone. I'd call out the name, but I forgot you out of spite.
Real publication,
like one of the first reviews that was actually, so be careful on Rotten Tomatoes. That's my spoiler, because I'm upset.
Whoa!
Right,
that's
they
not
should
good.
Have some sort of filter.
Which publication? Do you remember the publication?
Which is
some random?
Look it up.
Please, because I mean that's ridiculous.
That's
yeah, that's not legitimately not cool. Like, that's not
right?
Your job as
How
a critic.
Cool
like,
anyway, out of the positive.
Yeah. Anyway,
what is the percentage though?
I'm gonna find that as well.
So we've got
95%. Holy crap!
With how many reviews do you know?
It is up to 95% with 65 critic reviews.
Whoa!
Wow, that's good.
That's pretty solid.
That's
There's a reason it premiered at Berlin Film Festival. Like, it premiered at a film festival. There's a reason for that. Everything I've heard from people over at Screen Junkies who may have seen it or know people who have seen it is all just absolutely glowing. Everyone's just like, whoa, great. This movie. So, I want to highlight very quickly. Last week we saw... did you guys catch this on your show? I don't think you did. The X-23 video that they did, like the behind-the-scenes X-23
video.
We
did not cover it.
I didn't think... I watched it, and I was like, wait, I don't remember them talking about it. Because it happened around the same time you guys were recording.
Yeah, I think it was too soon.
Yeah, it is really disturbing.
Yeah.
Like, it's rated R.
I don't think I've seen it.
You haven't? Oh, yeah, watch this. So you see, like, you don't hear any sound. It's just kind of like ambient sound, but like you can see like the DNA and like you can see
all the screens, computer screens.
The screens, like cell regeneration, but then like you see like them operating on Daphne Keene, giving her like her like adamantium bones or maybe definitely giving her claws though.
And she's a kid, so it just feels
she's
so
a kid,
raw.
So it's like so raw. Like they're turning, and here she is screaming. But the last scene is. I'm warning everybody at home. It's a little disturbing if you haven't seen this last scene. She's cutting her arm with her claws.
And then watching herself heal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like what? And what? We don't need to see the Spider-Man.
We've seen
but thank you.
I mean, it's great.
It's great. I'd love to see it again, but we don't need to. But what's so disturbing about that to me is. Like, if I were doing, like, that would be disturbing if anybody was doing it, but it's the fact that she's, like, a 13-year-old child.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, she's so demented and twisted to think that that's, like, a normal thing to do. Like, so sad. And, like, that immediately pulls your heart into the movie to know, like, that's where they're starting with this poor girl. Like, no wonder she's, like, on the run and they're chasing her. Like, and Wolverine's like, I better help this girl.
So, do we think that that's in the movie or is that just outside?
Well, no, that's viral video for the promotion stuff.
Yeah, I think that's only promotional.
That's what I would think, too.
We might see, like, a clip or two of it in the movie or something, but I don't think that's actually in the movie.
Yeah.
One last thing I wanted to talk about with Logan, and this was, I feel like this was bigger news than was made of it, but maybe that's just because I didn't know anything about it, or, like, this has been out there for a year and I just didn't know. Director James Mangold, talking with Slash Film, was talking. Like the very first question they asked him was about his influences for Logan, and he was talking about westerns. And he said the idea was to have Logan caring reluctantly for an ailing father and suffering through a dead end job, trying to buy his meds, trying to keep him from hurting anyone else when he has the world's most powerful brain and Charles has degenerative brain disease.
So anyone else, that is an interesting phrase.
Exactly. And no one, I didn't see anyone talking about it.
But we've never gotten confirmation.
Never got confirmation about it. Here we're hearing, he's hurt people, and Logan is keeping him from doing that. And I think that's a huge deal.
No, that's the plot.
Right. In fact, I think that's why they're on the border of Mexico. I think that they're way out there.
Away from everybody.
Because Charles can no longer handle his telepathy.
Right.
And Logan, thankfully, can, like, regenerate. So if, like, Charles causes him to stab his heart or something, like, he's like, oh,
what a great reversal from X-Men 1. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a total reversal. And again, just like in talking about the actual quality of the film, Mangold's goal was to give him not a villain, but to give, like, to challenge him with something that's hard for Logan. And what's hard for Logan is to have a family and to be intimate and vulnerable.
Week and a half.
And that's what he's having to do here with Professor X and now, like, you know, Laura Kinney coming in. So,
what a great plot. What a great way to do the logo. What a great way to end that amazing...
I know. A total reversal. Here's my wonder. I don't think this is the case. I really do not think this is the case, but it's an interesting quandary to me. We don't want to say what the twist in Old Man Logan is, because you should just go read the comic. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil that for you. What if Professor X is somehow responsible for that twist?
For the thing
that happened in Old Man Logan. And, like, they're just kind of, he's just kind of underplaying it. Doesn't want him to keep, wants to keep him from hurting anyone else.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that could be amazing.
Like, how sad.
This movie's going to be good. Yeah. Week and a half. Yeah, I couldn't find the review. I think they either pulled it or they grabbed a different chunk of it. So thank you, Rotten Tomatoes.
Good.
It is safe again.
Okay. Good.
Now, I think that Logan... did you get the... They recently added a post-credit scene.
Yeah.
There had not been one, and now the movie's 3 minutes longer, and that leads us to believe, practically confirmed, and there is a post-credit scene.
And I think Slash Film actually reached out to Fox and did 100% confirm there is a post-credit scene.
Okay, gotcha.
So here's what's interesting about that, though. What's that post-credit scene?
Deadpool. It's Fox. What else do they have?
No, but that's what I'm saying.
The end of the
next X-Men?
That shouldn't exist.
But it does.
But yeah, no. I don't think they've started filming it yet. So maybe they filmed just that one scene. That's totally possible. I personally think the next thing they have on the docket is Deadpool, so maybe it'll be... I just hope it's not something that is totally obscure, that it's going to throw off the... We're going to walk out of Logan crying. I kind of hope it's not Deadpool.
Why wouldn't it just be... the post-credit scene with just the kid, the X-23. If they decided to spin that off into one thing.
Because Mangold said he wanted to.
It's possible to do that.
I just hope, like I said, I actually hope, this is the first time you're going to hear me say this, I hope it's not a Deadpool scene. Because I don't want to have the tone. Wow. That's how excited I am for Logan. I don't want more Deadpool that soon. Because I think it'll just throw off the feeling of the movie.
I think it will.
Like, Johnny totally Cash will. Should not have a button that's like,
No, that's a good point. All right, let's start closing it out. I wrote down a couple of shout-outs before the show. We've got, I forgot to write down his name. I'm the worst person ever. Charles Lee at Goofy Fan. Chuck says, may I get a birthday shout out, please and thank you. I'm a regular in the chat. Happy birthday, Charles Lee.
Happy birthday, man. That was one of the two I had. So now
Do your other one. Do your other one.
And so happy birthday. First and foremost, you were in the live chat all the time. We thank you for that. And my other one is Adam O'Brien, at Adam Obizel. He's going to be... First of all, this is the smaller of the two. He sent me a freaking Ultimate Spider-Man #1 all the way from the UK.
That's awesome.
And that made me so happy.
Oh, that was the one that you said you didn't
have. He not only was like, that's the one he needs. He sent it from the UK. He had to have his mom send it to him and then him send it to me.
Oh, that's awesome.
The coolest thing, man. Boarded, kept the note he gave me, and then put it in my collection. So I've always got that. And that is the now my most valuable Ultimate Spider-Man. I appreciate it so much.
That's fantastic.
Like, that sentimentality. That's all heart. Thank you. But also, that was a few weeks back. Now he's going to be a dad.
What?
First time father. Just found out.
Congrats.
On the future Marvelite, sir. That's amazing.
What was his name again?
Adam Obizel, Adam O'Brien.
Adam O'Brien, congratulations.
Congratulations,
sir. You're a good man. You're a good, good man. Congrats on having a kid.
That's so cool. Your future Peter Parker or Mary Jane is going to be adorable. I'm super stoked for you, man. So
I forgot to write down this fan's name, but he wrote, 3-hour show? Oh, yeah. Give me a shout-out, guys. Hashtag no reason. Hashtag would just be cool. There's your shout-out.
I'd like a shout-out.
So remind me next week and we'll give you a better shout out. But you made it! You made it! You're in!
You know you made it!
Now you can brag to all your friends. Question, real quick, at Mother Joker, do you think Quasar Wendell Vaughn will appear in Guardians of the Galaxy 2? I do not.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't think he's necessary.
I doubt it.
And then you have to explain the quantum bands and, like, does he find them on Earth? And if he did, like, does he find it through S.H.I.E.L.D.? Was he a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent? It's too much. I think Quasar is a fun character.
You want some irony?
Sure.
3-hour show. Oh, yeah, give me a shout out. Hashtag no reason. Hashtag would be cool. Adam O'Brien.
Adam O'Brien!
Double shout out!
Double shout out. All right. All right. Good work, sir. Good work. Oliver, do we have any other comments?
That's awesome. I was really happy for Adam. Congratulations.
Anything on Twitter? Do we have any new stuff on Twitter?
Currently, no.
So I want to close out with this. Brock Tamayo at Brock78 sent us this picture of dude's Doctor Strange tattoos.
Yeah, dude.
Can we pull those up, Marissa, and take a quick look at that? It's pretty legit.
It's awesome.
Wow. This dude must have been a big fan.
Yeah. They got your likeness.
Really, I know. Good. That's absolutely, man. I mean, right?
Did you just like pose in the tattoo parlor for them?
Yeah, how long were you standing there?
Oh, man. 3 hours.
A long thing.
That's a long time.
3 hours just for my hands.
I mean, hey. Yeah. But that's the rest of his life. So yeah. it was a gift.
Yeah.
You did great.
Yeah, you know, well. We can't all be Sorcerer Supremes, guys. So, anyway, where can we find you guys? Thanks for being on our show today. Where can we find you?
I'm Brian Markinson. You can find me at B Markinson, B-M-A-R-K-E-N-S-O-N, on Twitter and Instagram.
At Cardjohn. At,
Card.
C-A-R-D-J-O-N. I'm performing at the Comedy Magic Club all this week in Hermosa Beach.
Oh.
Yes.
I think I've been. I've been down there. I've seen a couple of comedy shows down there.
It's a fun place.
It's a good place. And you perform all over the world. So
I do.
If you want to meet him at some place
watch my movie on Netflix.
Go watch his movie and tweet at him when he's going to be in your country. You've got a fan in Gibraltar.
I do. The co-executive producer of Legion follows me on Twitter.
I liked
the movie, and I was like, "Yeah, that's cool. I love your show.
He makes a good TV.
Like your show."
That's rad.
Anything to announce?
You can, as always, find me at CoyjanDreau on Instagram and Twitter. And, I just love you guys. That's all I have to announce.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Like I said at the beginning of the show, we're moving to 2:30s from every Tuesday moving forward. Catch us here every Tuesday, 2:30. We'll have Oliver here. Did you have fun for sure?
I had so much fun. I was super nervous, guys. Bear with me, but I'm excited.
You'll get used to it. We were all nervous our first time. It's okay.
Hot seat, that couch. I
stole your couch. It's my couch.
Hey, 2 years. I kept it warm.
I've been on that couch a couple of times.
Yeah, you've been on it. It's a good couch. It's a good couch.
It's a comfy.
But you can catch me on Screen Junkies News from time to time. And I don't even think I've mentioned this to you yet.
No.
I have a new show starting over at Geek and Sundry on Wednesdays.
Dude, congratulations. Where
we're just going to talk about comic books. That starts tomorrow. So that's at noon on Twitch. I don't know if it'll be on YouTube. I don't have all the details yet, but that'll be with Taliesin Jaffe and Amy Dowling.
So, rad, dude.
Just talking comics.
Good people.
Yeah, good people.
Awesome.
Anyway, I'm Matt Key at the Matt Key. With us, as always, is CoyjanDreau from all of us here. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.